Will I see you at Subway for Meatball Monday?
No, I'll be too hungover from Subway's free shot of grain liquor with your choice of 6-inch deli favorite standard rate supply Sunday.
Oh man, I thought that was on Tuesday.
Only in the Southern Hemisphere. This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where you break down the world's biggest food debates. Oh, I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we got something very special. We're sort of hearkening back to my senior year in high school.
Who was Josh senior year? Other than large.
I was large. Well,
part of your personality, wasn't it?
So I went... Let's run through my average weights per year of high school.
I'm not going to do that, but you can go ahead.
Freshman year, probably running about 275.
How tall?
And that's 6'2". Been the same height all of high school. I peaked in like eighth grade. Maybe I grew like a half inch or something. But yeah, about 275 freshman year. Big kid, playing football, basketball, track and field. Sophomore year, quit football, dropped 55, 60 pounds. Went down to like 215, hung out there. Maybe about 10 pounds heavier junior year. Mm-hmm. And then I quit all my other sports to decide that I should try and get a shot put in discus throwing scholarship. And I was like, quickest way to do that, get all my lifts up, up, up. Like, we're squatting like more, jump, we're benching more.
Like jumping?
Like not jump. Even jump, just squat, bench, deadlift, Olympic lift, and do a lot of jumping training.
Okay.
But mass moves mass, so I gained another 50 pounds. So I went from 275 down to that 215, 225, boom. Back up to like 265 probably. So it was big.
Oh, you're still going great.
And I was so strong.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of that was powered by $5 footlongs.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So many calories for $5. We'd go on our lunch breaks. It was one of the closest places to my high school.
Subway has a smell to it, doesn't it?
It smells a little bit like if you were to bake bread in a dentist's office.
Yes, it has a very sterile, antiseptic
chlorinated. It's almost a chlorine and yeast.
Yes, it's a chlorine and yeast smell.
Is it inviting to you?
No, it's
nor
really,
I.
It used to be whenever I was younger, but now it's really off-putting to me.
There's something about the smell of a Subway that's a little bit sickening.
Yeah, but a smell of a Jersey Mike's.
Smell of a Jersey Mike's. Now that's very inviting. That actually smells like bread.
It smells like bread and vinegar and garlic and
so
herbs.
Subway spent a lot of money trying to be more like Jersey Mike's. And that's Jersey Mike's spent a lot of money making Jersey Mike's what Jersey Mike's is.
Which is great.
Mike's corporate. With all their franchisees, they like paid for them to renovate stores, to put the meat slicers fresh in view of the windows and stuff like that.
I do love that part.
Jersey Mike's is really like picking up on the legacy of what Subway sort of tried to do and then got too big to do. You know, and so now Subway's kind of trying to both return to form and offering quality, but then being in this weird recession-y period.
I have noticed that with their new value menu, it's definitely recession-esque.
Yeah.
And I see that they're doing 6-inch sub sandwiches for $4.99.
Hardly a snack.
And you can't even customize it either.
That's
crazy. You're not allowed. Like, you can.
Really?
I'm sure you can, but it's just like, it says in like a bunch
of
aspects.
Well, did you order
in
the app?
I ordered these in the app. So these are actually their new protein pockets, which I'm very excited to try. These all tout 24 grams of protein each.
That's only half a meal for me.
Oh, really? You want some Greek yogurt? You want a scoop?
Well, I just ate half of a Chipotle bowl before this with double meat on it.
Oh, so you're good.
No, I'm totally good. But I'm saying, like, for me, this is a new thing. This is a new thing that all fast food is going to have to compete with.
Protein?
We're talking about inflation of money.
Yes.
We need to talk about inflation of protein. Yeah. I've been doing this for a while.
You've been protein maxing since the womb.
Protein maxing. Well, yeah, but I mean,
you
mostly.
Call it protein maxing?
Not actually, no. That's sort of a fun neologism. But no, I've been eating a heavy protein diet and I've been lifting pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. Now, there was probably like a 3-year period between like 23 and 26 where I stopped. And I tried to go like vegetarian. I was vegan for a while. I tried to convince myself that I don't need to lift until I bleed. And that was kind of the worst time in my life. And ever since, I started listening to different music. I listened to a lot of Little Dragon. I was like, you can be a calm, normal guy. I can't. That's not me. So I got
really... I do love
really,
Little Dragon.
What?
I do love Little Dragon. Yeah, there's a lot of bells in Little Dragon music.
Yeah, not anymore, though. No, now I'm like listening to Vended and lifting until... I believe the point is...
Is there a point to what you're
saying? What?
Is there a point
to protein inflation, man.
Yeah, everybody is...
And now everybody's on this game. You're on this game. You remember that time when you were eating like a carnivore keto or whatever?
Oh, it was great. I loved it so much. Will I ever do it again? I don't know. Depends how the chemicals in my head respond to everything else.
Yeah, I get that.
But you, do you want to try a protein pocket right now?
So I've been taking anti-anxiety medication.
Okay, you want to unwrap one of those sandwiches?
Makes me so much less motivated to get out and go to the gym.
Oh my God, I know.
I kind of miss the anxiety.
Because you feel like everything's going to be okay once you like work out for 2 hours. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? What's in a protein pocket?
So this is what the website says. A new grab-and-go option with more than 20 grams of protein that launched earlier this year, blending real protein.
What the f*** are we doing?
You know what it looks like? It looks like a coxinha. It looks like a Brazilian coxinha.
This is a half a burrito.
This looks like a coxinha.
That looks like half a bad burrito because that's half a bad burrito.
It looks like a coxinha.
Someone on Top Chef last night made something look like a coxinha.
Look, I'm squeezing it so it looks like a coxinha.
This is called a protein pocket?
Yeah.
This is a snack wrap. McDonald's had these for years. Sorry, go ahead.
Let me finish. Blending real protein, hand-chopped veggies, and fan-favorite sauces in a soft tortilla wrap. We have Baja chicken, peppercorn ranch chicken, and Italian trio.
God, it's a snack wrap.
Why are you so depressed about this?
I'm not depressed about it.
They're trying to get asses in the door, man. Give them some snack.
I don't know. Protein wrap. What's this called? Protein pocket?
It's a protein pocket. Which is my nickname in high school. That's what my husband calls me if he hasn't, if he hasn't seen me for a while.
What the hell is this, dude?
I don't know, man. It's a protein pocket. How do you feel about the delivery mechanism?
Such a bummer.
Oh, it's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
Oh, it makes you sad. Something tells me, ooh, this has provolone cheese in it. Okay.
They're intentionally wrapping it like this. They could just make it into a burrito, but they're intentionally just leaving this sort of unfurled.
It seems to be a 9-inch tortilla that they're just...
That's big enough to just wrap into a burrito.
Yeah, it looks like they're
Which is the most efficient shape.
It's this very odd... Like, it's almost like they're trying to do a TikTok hack.
They're trying to figure out a way to fold a tortilla that has not yet been done so that they can justify calling it a new product.
I'm scared to eat
this. Last person to do that, frankly, was probably Taco Bell.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
And then El Pollo Loco ganked it to do their fully loaded quesadillas.
Oh, no.
This is a huge bummer, right?
I don't like the taste of Subway anymore.
Their chicken is just, it tastes like the chicken that they put inside Campbell's soup. What happened?
I don't know.
Did Subway change or did we change? Did you ever like Subway, though?
I like the convenience of Subway. And I miss the... I thought it was cool that you could, like, make your own sandwich. You know what I mean? And, like, you would sit there with your friends after school. Oh, this one's good.
Which one's that?
The Italian trio is good. Because it's just cold cuts. Sandwich together. If you want it.
Go to a grocery store. Get a pre-made sandwich from a grocery store. You know what I mean? They have the little pinwheel.
It tastes like a pinwheel.
They have the little pinwheels that they sell, like...
It tastes like a depression pinwheel.
Go to a party or, like, a, you know, not a Super Bowl party, but maybe, like, a divisional round playoff party. Super Bowl party, you should be getting better food. Go over to a buddy's house at a divisional round. He's like, yeah, I got some pinwheels from the Ralphs.
They couldn't even griddle the tortilla.
They have the, like, capability. They have the technology. It is such... God.
I'm sorry this podcast started so slow and sad.
Ah.
But yeah, it's pretty depressing. What do we do?
Sorry.
What do we do now?
This is all we have to eat?
That's it.
Man.
I'm so sorry. You want me to go get a BMT?
No. What's this called?
I think that's the Baja chicken that you're eating. And then there's also a peppercorn ranch chicken. The Baja chicken has grilled chicken, Monterey cheddar, smoky Baja chipotle, lettuce, Roma tomatoes, and jalapenos.
Smells like smoky.
Yeah, that one's a smoky one. But hey, for someone who's on the go, who's probably, you know, a corporate baddie and wants to, you know, get their protein in, this is a great option.
Get a thing of Planters peanuts and keep it in the backseat of your car until you can find real food. Like, that's what I do.
Do you think Subway has any more redeeming qualities to it left? Truly. Like, why? What else do they have to give us as people? As consumers?
You know what they have?
Miss Vicky's chips.
Do they?
I think so.
No, I don't think they do.
What are you talking about? Subway's
Lay's.
Is Subway Lay's?
Is Subway not Lay's?
Jersey Mike's has Miss Vicky's.
Oh my gosh, my brain. Dude, I have drunk the Kool-Aid of Jersey Mike's so much, and I have it so often that I don't even consider Subway. I don't even remember what a Subway looks like on the inside. Do they still have those silly little art pieces with, like, the onions and the water? So I'm talking about the silly little onion. Like it's like a beautiful still life of. Sorry, I almost threw up. Onions, lettuce. Yeah,
so they got the wettest paintings of onions in subways, Logan.
I'm not kidding.
You wouldn't believe how wet these onions are in the paintings.
Wet ass onions.
You wouldn't think that water could beat off an onion like that. Now you go into a subway and holy smoke. You're watching like A Bug's Life and they're like drinking the raindrops.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's on these onions in the subway paintings.
I'm looking on eBay.
Yeah.
So you watched Bug's Life as a kid? That's the movie you watched?
I think we watched it in class once. Oh, I also saw Ants.
Oh, you saw the off-brand version.
I saw both, yeah.
Off-brand version.
I don't know how.
They were militant in Ants.
Try this chicken.
I don't want to.
Try it. Nicole, come on.
Josh, I'm so...
It tastes vegan. It tastes vegan. This chicken tastes vegan.
It looks like paneer. Or halloumi cheese.
It tastes like seitan. It tastes like they've pieced together gluten.
This is really unfortunate.
There's no meat flavor.
I'll give that back to you if that's okay. Thank you so much.
It's always been like this. It's not like they changed chicken.
We've changed as people.
We've changed as people, which I think we've just learned to demand more.
Look, that's beautiful.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Honey, that's it.
It's only for $200 on eBay.
Put in a bid. Okay. Logan, bid on that.
$23.
We'll use production budget.
If we get a vintage Subway art piece in the Mythical Kitchen.
Can I tell you what I saw for sale recently for $1,500 and Julia would not. Yeah, those are the paintings.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a poster of Sling Blade?
No, but oh my God, if I get a Sling Blade poster?
Oh, I saw one at a garage sale and then I was going to call you and tell you that I was going to buy it for you, but it was like 4 years ago and I didn't.
Some folk pay $5 for a foot long. Some folk go to Dirty Mike.
Oh my God.
It was a whole Carl's Jr. menu board, like drive-thru.
Would it illuminate if you plugged it in?
I hope. I didn't call to ask.
What would you have done with it?
Put it in my on the ceiling above our bed, above our marital
Instead
bed.
Instead of a mirror?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to see us having sex. I want to see the double pineapple teriyaki thick burger.
God, that's so depressing.
How did this chicken get like this? Surely this can't be that much cheaper to make than just like a real chicken breast.
I really don't know. This really was a bummer. I don't use that terminology. I don't use that word. I never use the word bummer. That's a bummer.
This is like if a zombie apocalypse happened and you were holed up in a subway and this is like day 15, you kind of just start messing around. You're like, oh, might as well start putting the salami in the tortillas. You know? How much do these cost?
Gosh, let me check my app really quick and see how much I spent on these.
I'm trying to just figure out what's going on. How have they folded this tortilla?
I'm sorry, you're so disappointed. It's okay. It's not stocking.
It's doubled in one part of it. This is their forest ham?
That's their
Subway
Italian trio.
Changed up the meats, yeah, but the forest ham is part of the Italian trio.
Correct. It looks like they're all $6.95, so it's $7. So it's not the worst.
This is $7?
Is that a lot?
People are paying $7 for this?
Is that a lot?
Eat Planters peanuts so you can get home and eat eggs. You get a gallon of eggs. Dozen eggs is what? $5?
A gallon of eggs, ladies and gentlemen.
Eat six of those eggs. That's $2.50.
Oh my gosh. A turkey and ranch delight from Subway's $15.19.
For a foot long?
Subway.
God damn it. What are we doing? How are people affording to live?
Subway. Come on, man. You got to figure it out.
I got organic pork chop. Organic pork chop, $6.99 a pound.
This is crazy.
Lean. 100 grams of protein per pound.
The price
$6.
Of convenience has gotten so insane.
You know how long I cooked for yesterday?
4 hours.
Six and a half. 6.5 hours I cooked.
Josh, not everyone has that privilege, though.
Yeah? Let me see your screen time.
Oh.
Let me see your screen time. How much time are you spending scrolling? Cook. Cook food. It's good for you. Scrolling is bad. It makes you feel bad.
It makes you feel bad.
You can listen to people. Oh, I need time to relax because I'm stressed. No, it stresses you out more.
Listen to audiobooks.
I listened to 6 hours of an audiobook yesterday.
Maybe I should listen to audiobooks.
I know so much about the history of the Food Network now.
I'm going to listen to audiobooks.
You know what I mean?
I'm not going to scroll anymore. I'm going to listen to audiobooks. Send me good audiobooks. I want to laugh. Send me funny audiobooks.
I don't
laugh.
Funny books.
I don't laugh.
Oh, I bit my tongue so hard. Oh, my God.
I'm really disappointed in Subway right now. But hey, man, you know what? They have cute little names for their weekly specials. They have a sub of the day, $4.99 for a 6-inch sub. Add chips and a drink for just $2 more. It's Meatball Monday, Tuna Tuesday, Sweet Onion Teriyaki Wednesday, Turkey Thursday, Forest Ham Friday, BMT Saturday, and Spicy Italian Sunday.
Spicy Italian Sunday sounds like something on a TV network that I wasn't allowed to watch when I was a kid.
Stars.
I got Spicy Italian Sunday with Monica Bellucci. How would you fix Subway? Because they tried. This is their new ham.
I think what I would do.
Have you tried their new ham?
What do you mean, have I tried their new ham?
Subway invented new ham.
What are you talking about?
They invented new ham.
What's it called?
It's called Forest Ham.
It's Black Forest Ham.
It's Black Forest Ham?
Josh. Oh
but God. They're calling it just Forest Ham Friday?
They like to believe that you're smart enough to know that the black is implied. Pretty good ham.
It's pretty good ham.
Well-seasoned ham.
But that somehow doesn't save them.
You want to know why the ham tastes good? Because it was next to the pepperoni.
The ham absorbs some of the pepperoni flavor.
Josh, should we tell them an anecdote about our lives?
Someone got paid for this!
Guys, Josh had a Eurovision party at a bar. And I didn't know that you can't bring babies to bars. So I brought my baby to a bar, and the literal bartender was like, you can't be in here. And I'm like, okay, no problem. We'll just step out for a second and we'll go back in. He goes in, hand to chest, and says, I'm so sorry. You're not allowed to be here with the baby. You need to leave. And I realized he wasn't saying it in like a way like he's like, hey, get out. He was like, hey, you are forever a changed person, and your life is different now. You and your husband have different lifestyles, and you can't just bring your 8-month-old to a bar. And, you know, I learned a lot from that guy. Next time, have your Eurovision party at your house, please.
Here's the thing. It's a bar and grill.
That's what I said.
So I thought it was more of a grill than a bar.
That's what I saw. But then I saw the sign outside, and I'm like,
you shouldn't have a grilled cheese on the menu if you don't allow babies in.
She would have loved to munch on a grilled cheese while everyone was doing Jaeger bombs.
We're doing a lot of Jaeger bombs.
And listening to Bulgaria song.
Bulgaria did win. I was in a mesh tank top.
When are you not?
Fair point.
How do you feel about the tortilla? It's really bad. Griddle these. Take the extra 30 seconds, put it in the warmer, and pull it out. Did you ever eat the flautizas when you were there?
No.
I never had a flautiza. I always wanted to try it, though.
Is it pronounced flautiza?
What else would it be pronounced? Flautiza?
Flautiza. It's not pronounced pizza. It's pronounced pizza.
I think it's flautiza.
Pizzuki. Not pizzuki. Pizzuki.
It's pronounced pizzuki.
It's pronounced flautiza.
Sounds like a slur in Italy.
Oh, God!
What happened?
Craziest piece of cartilage just in the middle of the goddamn processed chicken. Ah, this sucks. Subway, if you're still eating Subway, you have no respect for yourself. Subway, you have no respect for the customers that you are feeding. You have no respect for your employees. Anyone from Subway Corporate, when is the last time you stepped foot inside one of your own stores? They're the most depressing places I've ever been. It's more depressing than walking into a Best Buy and the guys working there just go, we don't have anything anymore. And you go, what the f*** do you mean you don't have anything anymore? You're a store. They go, we don't. And you walk into a Subway and they act like they don't know why you're there. And you're like, can I get a sandwich? And they're as shocked.
They're rude.
They're as shocked as you are,
like,
you're in a Subway to buy a sandwich.
Yeah.
The largest restaurant chain in the history of the world, 35,000 locations strong, spread across the world faster than the Mongol hordes. And you have all given it. How much money did you give Steph Curry when you could have trained people to griddle a goddamn tortilla?
Josh is about to walk out of this podcast. What are we going to do? Josh, we are food professionals.
Turn them into Amazon fulfillment centers? I don't know.
Huh?
Every Subway, there's 35,000 of them. What free clinics?
What are you saying?
What are we going to do with the 35,000 Subways?
Don't worry about that. I'm saying, what do we do about these foods that are in front of us? This is disappointing.
Just leaving the chicken, it's protein.
Oh, no. I don't know, man. This is really sad. Subway, I think you guys need to go back to the drawing board. Figure out some stuff.
They have millions of dollars contracted to people to like think about these things.
Yes, they have marketing budgets up the wazoo. They have food scientists literally working hours and hours and hours on try to create new foods out of what they have already, slash find new vendors and inventory for new creations like this, I really think they missed the mark, and it's depressing.
It's so funny because there are – not that, like, you need to root for any of these giant multinational corporations, but there is, like, a nostalgia factor.
Of course there is.
The Whopper. Whopper. Burger King made an incredible Super Bowl commercial where they're like, hey, I'm so sorry. We know that we suck now, and we know exactly how because we did a huge nationwide survey. Mm-hmm. And everybody wrote in and kind of told us exactly why we suck. Like, with all the new – delivery influx of business,
right.
Whoppers are just getting crushed more and more. So we changed the packaging to do a box instead of a wrapping, right?
Smart.
Like, all this stuff. They redesigned their signature item from the ground up and then had an incredible marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is the redesign actually made it better. Like, the new Whopper tastes delicious.
Same with Domino's Pizza.
Same
with
Domino's Pizza did the single best one. And Domino's did that on the back of a recession, too.
Sure.
That's why they did it. Because they were hurting. Domino's came out with an incredible suite of $5 items as well.
Mm-hmm.
Domino's has since passed Pizza Hut. It's like a long road. But there are other people that have not rebranded, but like straightened out their brand in ways that Subway, I've just been like watching them flounder for
it's
so long.
Weird.
And you get into a weird place where when you have so many franchisees like that,
mm-hmm.
people are just like fighting for their lives of every store to squeak by on a razor-thin margin, right?
I mean, yeah.
So it's hard to do big sweeping changes like that when they're like, hey, we know how, you know, it could be somebody that franchised one store and they're using this to pay for the kids' college tuition or something.
Sure.
You know, it could be a big-ass private equity firm. Who knows what all these stories are? But, like, most people don't have the time or patience or ability to take the risk of these big sweeping rebrands. So instead, they're just like, Tom Brady likes turkey. And then he also did the crypto ads.
Well, to be fair, the start of the $5 footlong was from a franchisee in Florida. He literally said in 2023, a way to boost sluggish weekend traffic was by pricing footlong sandwiches at a flat, easy to remember, $5.
No way.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of people getting creative because this is not creative. This is just taking what you already have and rearranging it in a way that's pretty lazy. The thing is, I can taste the laziness of the C-suite all the way down. And it trickles down to these two guys on a podcast eating it and honestly not having a good time. It's disappointing, you know? I want there to be more passion and love from, I mean, do I want someone to love me? Maybe. I just want something more passionate, like something at least a little bit more thoughtful being given to people. And, you know, you guys will always be remembered for the $5 footlong, the Eat Fresh, the Jared Fogles. Like, these are things that you're going to be remembered for. Put a little bit of extra effort into your marketing campaign. Like, hire that outside firm that's, you know, a little bit out of budget. Like, you guys have the money to spend on something that can be a little bit more creative, that can be a little bit more jazzy, that can be cooler.
Close 729 U.S. locations in 2025. Do you know that?
I did not know that. That's really depressing.
They used to, a couple years ago, they were at 22,000 locations in the U.S. Now they're down to 19,000.
Yeah. And Jersey Mike's is just eating them up, huh?
Jersey Mike's. Gobble, gobble.
I mean, it's just a better product. I mean, the fact that they're slicing it in front of you, it does kind of trick your mind to be like, yeah, this is more legit. But they can't just put a slicer in their stores. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the fix for Subway.
No, it's not. No.
Maybe it's talking to your vendors and getting better product.
They need, like, a mea culpa.
They need a
complete rehaul. They need someone to come out and
rehaul.
Go, hey.
Steph Curry's not cutting it. Simone Biles, no. We need something else. We need them to just kind of wake up and shake up their business model. What are you trying to do now?
I'm trying to think. Sorry, I'm playing with the tortilla because I'm a very tactile man.
Whatever that means.
What are you finding inspiring right now in the sandwich world?
Gosh, I love, like, for example, Joe and the Juice had an incredible tuna sandwich where they basically whipped up tuna, whipped up avocado, literally, like, into mousses, spread it on some crunchy bread, put it in a little, what's it called, a panini press, and that sandwich shook up the world.
They really did.
They have so many Joe and the Juices now all over the world now because of that little tuna whipped avocado sandwich. It's crazy. It's so popular now, and it's been popular for like 2 years.
You know what I think they need? Check this out. There was once a sandwich company.
Super cool influencers. They need Alex Cooper and Alex Earl to reconcile over a foot long.
Squash the beef over a meatball sandwich Monday. Because there's beef. Well, legally, I don't know if they're allowed to say there's beef in the meatballs. Oh, God, I wish they made a meatball shitty burrito pocket.
Oh, my God, you would have.
That way I could just slurp them out of there like, like testicles from a scrotum.
you were going to say that.
There was once, Nicole, there was once a sandwich shop company that was so innovative that they forced Subway's hand into acquiring new equipment and even changing up the tax model. You know what's coming of their stores, because every time you opted for this item at the restaurant, they had to tax you for it, whereas they didn't for the cold ones. I'm talking about Quiznos. They brought in toasters, and they were such a threat to Subway that Subway then had to start toasting their sandwiches.
But now Quiznos—
But do you know why Quiznos succeeded?
Because of the little rats.
And Quiznos subs! Because they are cool to us! And Quiznos subs! What's the rest?
They have a pepper bar!
They have a pepper bar! You know, what are they called? What are they called? The like the
ragamuffins?
No, not the ragamuffins. They're called like the wingdings or something.
That's a font.
What are they called? Can you look up what the little— Do you know what we're talking about, Logan?
Not really.
And Quiznos subs!
I think they're called the ragamuffins.
Because they are cool to us.
Look up Quiznos subs ad scary.
Yeah, Quiznos subs ad weird little creatures. They're like little gremlins. They're called like
the ragamuffins.
They're not the ragamuffins. No, they're called like the wing bit. the whip diffs.
The wingdings.
The rug. The
breadwinners.
The breadwinners.
The dust bunnies.
The dust bunnies.
When I look up Subway ad scary,
no,
Quiznos.
Jared just came up.
Yeah, Jared Fogle is the real scary creature.
I see it.
We love the subs! Go to us! Quiznos subs!
Sponge monkeys.
Sponge monkeys?
They were called the sponge monkeys.
The sponge monkeys! We, I think, are ready to return to the advertising.
Well, let me tell you, on TikTok—
Grimace shake.
No, let me tell you right now, TikTok, Pine Sol has a TikTok channel that is all, like, advertising. They're doing the same thing with Nutter Butters. Josh, please put that down. It looks radioactive. It is incredible. Advertising is back, Josh. Subway needs to advertise.
Advertise with us. I'll finger out all your sandwiches.
I'll advertise. I know we just—
On podcast.
We pooped on you a little bit, but we're here to fix you. Sometimes people need tough love, right, Josh?
Yeah, it's like the way that Gordon Ramsay yells at those children. That's how we're doing it now, because we care about you, Subway.
Gordon Ramsay doesn't yell at kids.
He doesn't yell at kids, and we love kids. He yells at the adults.
Exactly.
Subway, we care about you. Oh, God. We want people to do better. We want you to do better. I think we can do better together as a nation. Amen.
I don't know, Subway. You got to figure some stuff out. Call us. We're here to help. I know it was hard to listen, but we're going to help you out. Give us a ring-a-ding-ding.
Tastes like a meeting out of a dumpster, but there's no dumpster.
Stop it. Just put it down. Put it down.
Wow, Nicole, they've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. Time for a little segment we call Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Let's rev up that first opinion, Logan.
It's one of those things like cigarettes are supposed to relax, you know, that feels relaxing, but you actually know that it's just lighting your nervous system on fire.
Is it?
Nicotine is a stimulant, you know.
Hi, it's Rylan from Washington State.
Rylan.
I was just calling because I'd love to get your take on the big ube boom that's been happening. All of a sudden, the last few months, I've been seeing ube everywhere. And not to be that person, but like my family's Filipino American, so we've known about ube for like a while. Yeah. So now I feel like it's basically the new matcha.
I knew you were going to say that.
Love to know your take. I think the podcast is so slay. I think you're both divas. And keep up the good work. Love you.
I also feel very slay. And I feel like I have a lot to say about this, but you reacted strongly. Please, the floor is yours.
I believe that ube is the new matcha in terms of America is, sorry, my nose is very stuffy. Maybe I'm allergic to the Subway. I don't know. What was I saying? Okay. So I think ube is the new matcha because America's just like exploiting it and putting it in everything. To be like, ooh, new bright color to put in your food. Yum, 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 yum. And it's really crazy because ube is a beautiful tuber that you find in Filipino cooking. And it's just being disrespected. But you know what? That's where innovation, you know, there's like, it's like innovation happens, but sometimes people take it a little bit too far. And I think we might be in the little bit too far category where people like, you know, making frozen ube pancakes with boba in them and stuff like that. Like, I don't need that.
I remember eating green tea ice cream, like matcha ice cream for the first time probably 20 years ago, maybe a little bit more, maybe 25 years ago even. I would have been like 9, 10 years old at like a $15 lunch all you can eat sushi buffet, and I got green tea ice cream at the end of it. Yep. And I was like, oh my god,
the little sandwich ones. No,
they would just like serve it in a cup. I think it was called Onami. I think it was in a mall. They had like one day where it was heavily discounted. God, it was good. You know, canned tuna and the rolls kind of sitch.
Oh, sure.
You know, not all of them. Some of them. But anyways, I remember ditto having ube, you know, in Orange County probably about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And trends change so fast now that it's just people seeking out a thing that hasn't been heavily hyped. And I suppose you could say exploited. Definitely with matcha, you see like, you know, an actual like changing of the agricultural production cycles of a thousand-year-old, or at least several hundred-year-old plant, and one that's involved in a lot of ceremonies. Instead, with ube, has like a lot of symbolism and, you know, ceremony in Filipino culture. And none of the ube that they're even eating is like real ube. Ube is a purple sweet potato. It's all weird ube extract and purple food dye.
Exactly. So it's been bastardized. And
you put like real ube into a pancake, that's wonderful. A little potato pancake situation.
Yeah, but also you can't ube really latte, taste it that much, you know?
Oh, and an ube latte, it's a potato. It is a potato.
Ube latte. Okay, so ube.
Matcha is a heavily flavored leaf. Ube is a potato. So it's a wonderful flavor. It's just not that flavored.
So what's happening with ube also is happening with pandan, where they're just making an extract out of it and then they're just telling you to put it in cakes and stuff.
I've been hearing that Filipino food is the next Korean food for 15 damn years.
Oh, you got 15. I got 5. Sorry.
When did Mamsir?
I'm not that tapped in.
When I just went to
Mamsir,
fine dining Filipino restaurant. Shout out to the homie Charles Alalia.
Great times.
But I remember all the think pieces of it's Filipino food, is the next Korean food, is the next Japanese food, is the next whatever. Right? It's just cycling through what haven't we tried to touch and extract any sort of meaning and culture out of, but now it's happening so much faster that you're about to see ube rise, and then ube fall, and then, I don't know, like corn...
Thai iced tea.
Thai iced tea is going to happen.
People are already doing corn milk lattes.
Corn milk. Oh, I love... Here's the thing. I love corn.
I love corn.
But no, I love ube, and I love Filipino food. I just had a nice little solo dinner and a glass of wine at a place called La Cita.
How was it?
Chad and Chase Valencia. I remember when they were just a pop-up in an incubator. There was a culinary incubator owned by Alvin Kailan down there. You know, so like I love the Filipino food community specifically. I just had a wonderful half chicken with rice. I went after I got my tattoo because I was in so much pain because there's so much more ink on this one than I've ever gotten that I was like, I need a beer to take the edge off. And there was La Cita and just an oasis. They have this Nicaraguan beer, got a beer, half chicken, glass of Pet Nat, had a conversation with somebody next to me who was also eating alone, got a pavlova with calamansi, which is maybe the next flavor that's about to be exploited, you know, and just had a wonderful time. So like, I don't know, man, trends are going to rise and fall. Ultimately, you know the staying power and the cultural importance of food in your culture, and I think that's what's important.
Hey, maybe if you're lucky, they'll do your culture next.
Where are you at, Indonesians?
Come on, Iraqis. What's next? What's another country?
What's the Iraq? What's the come on, Chad, Somalia.
Come on,
Madagascar. It's some Malagasy cuisine out there.
Chile
could be interesting.
They're coming for you.
Not a lot of Brazilian exploitation out there. I need some like
great music.
Hi, Jack and Nicole. This is Pam from Pittsburgh. Love the pod. So I want to get down to it. It's not really an opinion, but it's like a thought process. So in doing a lot of research for wine and how we taste wine, I've learned that like genetic females versus genetic males have a different detection of sugar levels.
Oh.
So like, for example, like women tend to have a lower threshold for tasting sweetness. So like I can taste 1 gram of sweetness, where my husband needs like 3 grams of sugar sweetness before he thinks something's sweet. So I want to know if like that tracks with like you guys, or if you've done any like research, like food testing stuff to see if that's really the case. So yeah, that's it. Love the pod. Thanks. Bye.
There might be other factors other than just biology. I mean, kind of like maybe if someone's a smoker, maybe someone's taking medications. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily. I've never seen that anecdotally. I've never experienced that anecdotally, like this person tasting sweeter because they're a guy.
Yeah, I've never like seen that particular research, but I'm always so fascinated with the fact that we can never know each other's experience whatsoever. We even talked to that podcast about what does water taste like, right? So much it was just like...
And your mouth pH.
What's the pH of your spit?
And you had different pH than I did.
And so it's insane, something like wine, where there are billions of dollars at stake in this industry of somebody being able to score this a 97 instead of a 94 because they tasted blackberries and petrichor and somebody didn't. Like, it is, in my view, wine is pure fiction. Straight up, it's storytelling. But in the way that makes Sapiens by Yuval Harari, right, argues that one of the reasons people were able to come together and form society is because society is a collective fiction that we all agree, we all believe in. Money is a collective fiction that we all believe in. Somehow wine is this collective fiction that we all agree that one bottle goes with another, whereas another bottle. I drank a glass of red wine with a chicken recently, and somebody was like, red wine with chicken. It's like, have you ever drank or ate anything before? That's like saying you can only drink Coke with a taco instead of a Sprite. It's stupid. It's just a drink, man.
It's just a drink.
And also, there are billions of people that were getting drunk on rad ceremonial inebriants that had no access to grapes. Japan.
They were
China.
Using rice, man.
Go rip some baijiu. Baijiu's rad, dude. Go rip some plum wine, brother.
I was gonna say, they were using plums.
Go drink some pulque. Drink some tepache. You
pineapple.
Know, all these places didn't have grapes for thousands of years.
They just let that shit ferment
so, like,
somewhere.
My short answer, frankly, I'm kind of on one today, so I'm sorry if I'm aggressive.
I like it when Josh
is saucy.
Answer,
my short answer to when you're like, well, men might taste 3 grams of sugar more. How does that affect wine? It shouldn't, because wine is a collective fiction that is utter bullshit. It's so bullshit. It's crazy.
Meh.
It's a fun bullshit that we all collectively agree with.
It's fun, but that doesn't make it any less fake. Is that what you're trying to say?
You know, I just...
People find meaning in it. I mean,
how does it
me
affect
and you
the,
are Jewish.
How
there's
it,
meaning in the wine in wine for us.
You know what there's not, though? Like,
what? Tell me. If I can taste the notes of...
Correctamundo,
like,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's the point of the wine, is that you're drinking it generally with family and friends and ceremonially to remind you of something and to pay respect for something. It has nothing to do with the actual notes on your palate, you know?
Then why do people agree... Whenever they taste like notes of green apple in a Chardonnay.
Frederick Brochet's 2001 study where he just dyed white wine red and had enology and viticulture students at the best wine college in the world.
Wine college?
Yeah, literally. I mean, in France, it's the University of, is it Bourgogne? I don't know. Or Bordeaux. University of Bordeaux, I think. Anyways, like, yeah, literally the best wine school. He took the senior students and he had them taste red wine and then taste a white wine that was dyed red, and they just described it as a red wine.
There you go. That's
it's
incredible.
It's wonder, Pierre Brochet or Frederick Brochet? I don't know. Look up the Brochet study. It was done in 2000.
That's really incredible.
Yeah, it's just, and it's not to say that they can't, you know, name it, but it's like those kids at the spelling bee, you know, that, you
I
know.
I love kids at spelling bee.
Same. It's an act of beautiful rote memorization and being able to access certain, you know,
can you
mind
put
palsy
it in a
stuff.
Sentence?
But like, it kills me that there were billions of people on earth that never had access to grapes, but somehow we only treat the rotten grape juice as having all this meaning and discerning flavor notes. Sake is kind of getting up there, but if you look at the things that sake has in common with French cuisine and like Italian cuisine, the two probably most famous wine growing areas in the world, right? French and Italian wines are the most coveted.
Sure.
And then Japanese sake now having that same thing. Those are all the places that are also overrepresented by the Michelin Guide, because those are the places that we have just inexplicably brought up to have this mystical cultural relationship with the sure. things they consume, where we don't think that about Thai people or Vietnamese people.
Sure.
I feel like I'd go crazy.
Josh can probably taste if a wine has a little bit more sugar than I do. I'm sure he can. People have called me a super taster.
My favorite wine is Green Buzz Balls.
I don't have a favorite wine. I mean, I tell your brother that I have a favorite wine, but I don't think it's real. I kind of tell him, oh, I like Chenin Blanc. He's like, oh, I remembered. That's why I brought it. I'm like, cool. So nice.
My brother once made a Cab Franc in his laundry room, and I liked it.
Sure. Whatever Cab Franc means. Is that the grapes that were used?
I think so.
The names of wines are from the grapes that are used.
Not always.
Really?
A lot of the times they are, but not always.
Like 99%.
Sometimes
of the
it's
time?
The region, and I don't know if it's the grape or the region. You know, like
wine
oh,
sounds
I love
confusing.
Beaujolais.
I'm so glad I don't care about it.
Golly, man. Bring back the craft beer movement. Bring back, give me the 13% triple Belgian IPAs.
Deliriums.
Give me that, man. I want a guy with a long beard and a trucker hat. You know, got his GI Bill from Pendleton.
Me?
Opened up a craft brewery in La Jolla.
Give me a $4 cocktail mixed poorly and I'll be good. Just put a little umbrella in it for me. I'm yeah. good.
Next opinion?
All right.
Logan's like, I guess. You weird depressive freaks. Sure.
Hello, hello. This is Lily. I'm calling not so much with an opinion, but with an inquiry.
Ooh.
Because cabbage is already a top tier vegetable.
Hell yeah, dude.
Pickling things is brilliant.
Hell yeah,
I grew
it is.
Up with sauerkraut, absolutely amazing. Throw it in anything. And then in high school, I discovered kimchi.
Yeah.
I eat it practically every day. And yeah. finally, when I started dating my partner, he is Salvadoran, and I got introduced
curtido.
To curtido.
Curtido!
I was going to say curtido too, you know.
I am tired of the slow creep of time gradually revealing pickled cabbage dishes to me. What other pickled cabbage dishes are there?
Oh my
so
gosh.
So I can go consume them.
Giardinara.
It's so funny because you literally named the three that I think about in terms of the Holy Trinity of pickled cabbage dishes, but this is types of fermented cabbage. This is okay. now an inquiry for us.
You're
because
gonna look, so in Farsi, it's a torshi kalam, which is just torshi cabbage. Similar to jardinera, it's really, really delicious. Do that.
Haitian pickles.
Pickles is delicious. Oh my God, I love pickles. It has scotch bonnet, no?
Has scotch bonnet,
it's
yeah.
It's really
yeah.
delicious.
What else is there?
Torshi kalam.
Vietnamese dai khai chua? I've never had Vietnamese fermented cabbage.
Me either.
I've typically had like Vietnamese like
any weird Balkan shit?
Well, no, I mean it's probably just sauerkraut. So the interesting thing about something like sauerkraut versus kimchi and curtido, even I don't know where curtido comes from. But anyways, sauerkraut is two ingredients, right? It's cabbage and salt.
Three, if you include thyme.
So it's cabbage and salt. But like that's, you know, so that's a very like basic concept. Whereas kimchi, right? When you get like the shrimp paste and the chilies and the garlic, you know, that's a very local specific flavor. But I guess yeah. there is also white kimchi as well,
I love white kimchi.
No way, dude. I need like a heavy shrimp pasty kimchi.
Do you like it when it's uber fermented? Because at my Korean barbecue spot in Gardena, they give me the regular kimchi, they give me the white kimchi, and then they give my brother the uber fermented, really, like, it's honestly bubbling in his mouth. Like, it's almost a biohazard. That's how pickled it is.
I don't like when it gets too sour. Like, I love when it plays on, like, the funk of the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, God, there's no bad fermented vegetable. But it's really cool how there was this kind of divergent evolution. And so the idea that something like kimchi sprung up completely independently from sauerkraut, the places are like, listen, we got a bunch of cabbages because they grow pretty easy and they're very sturdy.
Forgiving.
And also it's like dead of winter now, so they're going to stop. We got to preserve it. Salt seems to stop bacteria from growing. Put that in. And then they're like, oh, this also tastes delicious, right? Because the rise of like glutamic acid from mm-hmm. the probiotics potentially. So yeah, I fully agree. Pretty much every culture figured out how to ferment some sort of vegetable like that. I think it's rad.
I'm just looking at all the cool fermented foods that I don't know about. Vili in Finland.
What is Finnish vili?
It is fermented milk product with a velvety, malleable texture. Various forms of yeast give it a slightly different taste than typical yogurt.
Interesting.
Kanum chin, thin rice noodles made from rice that have been fermented for several days.
Yeah.
Poi, really want to try poi, which
poi's fermented?
Yeah, which is a, it's basically like a swallow. It's just a fermented swallow, which is cool.
Oh, I mean, I love poi. I've eaten fresh poi that was pounded in the rainwater, which was cool, cool. as hell, dude, in Hawaii.
I want to do
that. Dude
literally
was pounding poi on the side of the road, and it was raining, and he was like, yeah, this is how it
I want to do that real bad. Achara, which is unripe papaya pickled with vinegar, sugar, and salt. Yum.
Achara, is that Filipino achara? Because achara is used, yes. The term achara is used achara in so many different
Mm-hmm. So cool. There's so many fermented foods I need to eat.
Yeah, it's interesting that cabbage became so popular, right? As opposed
sturdy.
To so many other things. But a lot of places, like even like torchy, right, is just made with various different things.
Torchies is like a vibe. Torchy's a vibe.
What does that mean?
Like you're making something a torchy.
Yeah. It's like just pickle, right?
Pickling, yeah.
So it's like you can pickle sour. Cabbage.
Yes, you can. Torchy kalam.
Yeah.
Torchy kalam. Torchy is the action that you're doing to the kalam, which is
but like
cabbage.
In like Northern Europe, like sauerkraut is the pickle. Certainly they pickle other things,
they pickle
right?
Pickle cucumbers.
But like there is a reason that like cabbage and ditto with, you know, in you can make cucumber kimchi, there's a lot of radish kimchi, all the stuff. But like
love radish
but cabbage is the main event
yes.
in Korea, Germany, and then like curtido and something in El Salvador.
Yes.
Like cabbage is just another thing you can pickle.
Yes.
In torchy.
Yes.
Which I think is the same thing in like Vietnam. It's like, yes, it's around
yeah, sure.
the pickle.
Yeah.
Dude.
We'll do it.
That holds.
There's something also called lite in Farsi. It's I can't speak. It's eggplant.
Ooh.
That's like fermented and like pickled. And then you chop it up really, really fine. And it's like a scoopable
hell yeah.
eggplant dip.
I just may wait. Check this out.
Well, you want to show me something?
Yeah, I'm showing Nicole.
Show me.
A photo on my phone. Hold on.
Nice rolls. Oh, is that the white sauce? Should have
yeah, well, it's
the
kind
red.
Of a great. No, I kind of dipped the.
Are those cordyceps?
Maybe oyster mushrooms.
It's a little weird.
Well, I made like an oyster mushroom gravy for.
Sorry, I'm not gonna yuck your yum. But
look at I made stuffed cabbage.
No, show them the other picture. Show them the other picture.
Well, okay, this is before it was baked, and I baked it, and it was really nice.
Guys, look at it.
I made like a. Like a mushroom onion kind of.
Don't love the color, babes.
Well, yeah, but that's before it baked. So it looked good when it.
Yeah, do you have a picture of it baked?
No, I wasn't like, I was just taking them for me. I didn't expect to show you, but anyways.
And on that note, thank
can you.
You
no, I was not done. I was not
it
done.
It says wrap.
I know, it says wrap.
Wrap it up,
say,
pal.
I was going to say something.
Wrap it up.
I want to ferment cabbage leaves and make kimchi but whole, and then I want to stuff them.
Do it. I'm not stopping
That's it.
You.
That's all I wanted to say. Now
you
can
said it. Now that you said
up.
It to the universe, does that mean you're going to do it?
Yeah. On that note, thank you so much for stopping by Hot Dogs and Sandwich. We got new episodes out for you all the time.
Subscribe to our channel.
It's called
You'll see more of this.
See more of this. This is great.
This dichotomy.
You know.
Does it tickle your pickle, the cabbage?
I'll tickle. I'll tell you what. You subscribe. I'll tickle your pickles individually. I'll do it. I'll come around like Santa Claus down through their chimneys, tickling pickles all the way, tickling their picklies, as they say.
If you want to be featured on Opinions at Casseroles, hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. And for more Mythical Kitchen, check out our other videos. Josh has a great show called Last Meals. And let me tell you, it is a great, great viewing experience.
Can't guarantee that I'll be good at it, but I'll do it.
Do what?
I'll come down that damn chimney.
Oh, tickling pickles?
I'll come down that damn chimney and do it, Nicole. You better believe it.
One thing about Josh, he's going to come down that chimney. He's going to do it.
I will.
He's going to come with a sack.
I think I won't.
He's going to come with a sack down your chimney. Call him Joshy Claus.